with a closed entry door. The Dham also requires a key to open up to us. And that key is changing the name, but not mechanical. It is changing the name with, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it, affectionate respect. Huh? Affectionate respect. Dham means Nam. Because it is the name which is the very first manifestation of Krishna to the sincere sadhaka. We meet Krishna in the name first, and then comes his form, then the qualities, and then the Dham and his entourage. Good. So, without any further ado, because I'm so afraid that we won't finish this katha, we will just immediately enter into this beautiful pastime, which, in at least to my own mind, finds its culmination in what happens now. You remember, Indra was very afraid for a good reason. He had offended Krishna in a degree which is really very, very bad. Krishna is more appreciative of someone who approaches him through his devotee. He says in Adi Purana, someone who says he's directly worshipping me is not my devotee. Only someone who worships my devotee, he is my devotee. That also is true in the reverse way. When you offend a devotee, it's much more stronger even than if you offend Krishna, because Krishna's heart can just not so easily forget such an offense. Krishna's heart waits until the offender of his devotee goes to the devotee and makes it's up with the devotee, you know, excuses himself, serves the devotees, and pacifies the follower of that devotee. That is the Vaishnav law. So Indra had really tried, Indra had done the worst of all offense, that is to try to murder a devotee. There are 6 offenses one can do against devotees, and we don't want to hear about them because it's just so bad. But the worst is to kill a devotee. And Indra had tried to do that. He was a Maha Aparadi, according to Skanda Purana. He was the worst of them all. He had gone to Brahma to ask what he could do, and Brahma gave him a tip. You go, but don't go alone. Go and keep Surabhi before you so that Krishna will first see someone who makes him happy, the Surabhi cow, and then he will maybe forgive you. But Indra didn't feel sure about this until Sachi Devi, his wife, Sachi Mata, also worked on his consciousness and preached to him. So finally he was ready to go to Vrindavan. He came on foot. Usually is accustomed to ride on his royal carrier, Airavata, the heavenly elephant with many trunks, but Surabhi convinced him, this is not good, you'd better take the humble position, you go on foot. It is well possible that when he came to Braj, he took off his slippers and came barefoot. He really was humbled and very, very afraid. He just did not know what Krishna would do now to him. In his mind, he thought Krishna had been busy up till now to protect his devotees by lifting Giriraj, but now he would deal with Indra directly. and it would be scary. It is described Indra was trembling with fear. When Indra finally saw Krishna, who was at Govindakund, looking, inspecting the damage which had been done during Indra's attack, he immediately fell down before Krishna's lotus feet. Actually, Surabhi had told Krishna, please, there's a person behind me. He's trembling with fear. He really regrets what he did. If you give him permission, can he speak. So Krishna, in an enigmatic way, enigmatic means you don't really know what the Lord will do. Enigmatic, it's like a mystery. Had given his assent. Yes, let him speak. So Indra came. He fell down. And as he went down, he took his crown from his head and placed it directly at the lotus feet of Krishna as a sign that I am your most surrendered servant. I'm not coming to you as the king of the universe. That was before. But he wanted to give a sign. When you're very humbled, another good sign is to take a piece of straw in your mouth. That's what Sanatana Goswami did when he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have to give a visual sign that you are really sorry. So Indra put his crown at the lotus feet of Krishna. You must remember that Indra did not become Indra because he was elected by the 33 something. I can't say it in English. 33,000, if this helps you in German. Devatas. He was not elected. No, Krishna had chosen him and then told Brahma, the creator, to install Indra in a coronation ceremony. Indra, in other words, knew it was due to Krishna that he had been elected and put in this position. He knew that. That's why it said when he did this offense, he felt as if he had fallen from the high position which the Lord had given him, head first on the ground. Now, previously, Indra, who is not unintelligent, had seen how Brahma had displeased Krishna and how Krishna had answered to Brahma by expanding into all the cowherd boys and cows which Brahma had stolen in order to test Krishna. Indra, in other words, was very well aware of the incredible potency of this little smiling prince of Braj. So when Indra came up out of his obeisances, he was cured, and he knew who Krishna was. The intoxication due to pride had gone. And he just wanted to, he searched with his eyes, Krishna's eyes, to know how would Krishna react. Would he look angry? Would he throw lightning bolts from his eyes or just burn him up like Shiva had burned up Kamadev? What would Krishna do? And now listen. Listen very carefully how Krishna greeted Indra. This sentence which Krishna will say now will give you an insight into one of Krishna's qualities which is just so absolutely endearing to his devotees. Krishna said, O king of the demigods, I see that you have unprecedented affection for me. This was the last thing Indra had expected. I see, said Krishna in his sweet voice, which sounded like liquid honey. I see that you have unprecedented, it means no one has higher affection than you to me. I see that you have unprecedented affection for me. You have come to show mercy to me, who has offended you by stopping your worship. When Indra heard this voice, he thought, he can't be serious. And he became even more afraid. Just see, a materialist always suspects the other person of the same motives and mental moves as he has and the way his mind moves. Now, in order to understand more what comes now, you must remember that Krishna is absolutely free from the forces of greed, lust, anger and envy, which move a conditioned soul through the, I don't want to bore you with psychology, but through the subconsciousness. You know? A lot of what we do is motivated by these inner enemies, greed, lust, anger, envy, and so on. Krishna doesn't have these moving factors. And therefore, he has one quality in him, which is kshama shila. It means he has a very forgiving nature. Rupa Goswami defines this nature in these words. I'm taking this from Nectar of Devotion. A person who can tolerate all kinds of offenses from the opposite party is known to be forgiving. So you must know all living entities, including Indra, have been fathered by Krishna, who is describing himself in the Gita. You know, aham bija prada pitaha. Huh? You know this verse. I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. So, when a father or a mother receives the offenses of their children, they don't take it serious. For instance, when a little boy kicks his mother, I've seen this sometimes with this sweet little boy you saw yesterday, when he is in an intense mood, he will be intense with his mother. But the mother smiles. Oh, my boy develops nicely. He develops his own personality, you know. And he will become strong in dealing with others in the world when he's grown up. Or, you know, when the mother has the child in the womb and the child kicks, ping, ping, ping. She says, wow, signs of life. God, boom, 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 boom. It's pregnancy is going well. The child is very, very energetic and very healthy. So Krishna doesn't have malice or envy against anyone. It's just something which is absolutely absent. And when he is hurt, when someone hurts him, he doesn't really accept it. He becomes very, very disturbed when his devotee is hurt, but not when he himself is hurt. It's very important because he just doesn't have these psychological things which are necessary to become hurt. It's an unstable personality who's not self-sufficient, and it's a heart which is seeking fame and is disturbed when there is infame coming. To make this a little bit more clear, I would like to tell you how Buddha once was heard. A person came to him, Buddha was teaching, sitting on his teaching seat, and the person said, "You are all nonsense. You are really bad. You are pretending to be a teacher, but your intelligence is not even born, you know," and so on. Buddha just looked at him and just didn't react. Later someone asked him, "How did you feel, you know?" And Buddha said, "Yes, that person has given me many bad words, but I didn't accept them. So the words stayed with the person, not with me." There is a song about Lord Nityananda where that same amazing nature is described. That transcendental nature, which is hard for us to understand because we don't know it. Lochandas Thakur sings, "Akroda paramananda nityananda rai abhimana shunya nitai nagare bedai." The noble Nityananda Prabhu is never angry, for he is the personification of supreme transcendental bliss. Abhimana shunya nitai means he's devoid of all abhiman, you know, false ego. In this way, the Lord wanders through the town singing, "Gauranga!" So there is no anger, there is no false ego, there is nothing like this in the transcendental persona. But look at Indra, who's like us. He was so offended when Krishna stopped his yajna. He didn't even ask why this was done, what Krishna wanted to teach. He became so mad at Krishna that he forgot that this is the same person who put me into my position. He's my master. I just want you to understand this point, and I'm not yet successful. I can feel from the subtle energy here in the tent, you cannot yet understand Krishna. Think of, let's be practical. You like to eat? No? Yes. As at least in ISKCON, I know when someone is not on board, you talk about prasadam preparations and everyone listens. So imagine when you eat your own teeth cut into your lips or tongue. Will you take now a hammer and bang out the teeth? No. You know I need them for further action. And they're my teeth, you know. They belong to me. So Krishna feels like this towards his devotees. Even if the devotees hurt him or say hurtful words or turn back from him, Krishna never turns back on anyone. And when Krishna sees, this is an important sadhana for conditioned souls, that someone repents and feels sorry for his bad activities, Krishna immediately manifests his kshama shila nature, his supreme forgiving nature. Krishna says this in the Gita, "Api chet sudara charo bhajate mang ananya bhak sadhu eva samantavya samyak vyavasito hi saha." Even if one commits the most abominable activity, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. In other words, he wants the right thing. He's weak, but he wants the right thing. This is so amazing. It's so different from any one of us, this nature of Krishna, that Krishna asked Arjuna to take up drums and go through all the villages of towns and proclaim this nature. He didn't want to say it himself because he felt maybe someone will not believe me. Maybe they think I want to just say nice words. I feel it is our duty as devotees to display also a little bit this quality of forgiveness. I say it a little bit because we will never be like Krishna, but we have to learn this. We are too judgmental towards each other. And when someone does something which we cannot understand, immediately we are prepared to judge him and say bad things behind his back about him. Immediately we are prepared without any further investigation and questioning. Immediately. We need to learn this. We are devotees of our Lord. Yamunacharya praises the forgiving nature of Krishna by saying, "O Lord, as Rama you showed pity to the crow who attacked Sita because he submitted to you." Do you remember this? Ram was with Sita and in the forest, and all of a sudden a crow began to attack the soft, tender breasts of Sita. Now Ram immediately was ready to kill the crow, but when the crow saw, "My God, Ram is getting his arrow, I will be killed within a matter of a few seconds. There's nothing and no one in the world who can give me shelter from this." At that time, the crow submitted, paid his obeisances, and Ram forgave him even such a grave offense. I mean, this was most heavy. "O Krishna," Yamunacharya says, "you gave final liberation in the form of Sajuja Mukti to this offender who came back." The crow came back as Shishupal. And the Shishupal, he offended Krishna like 99 times. He said really bad things about him, which I don't want to repeat in the sacred place, because you would kill me if you would hear how I say what Shishupala said. But then Indra, he was going like, and Krishna said, "You are most affectionate to me, and please forgive my offense in stopping your yagya, your worship." That Indra was, and he saw Krishna was serious about it. There was no irony in Krishna's words, no dark sarcasm was there. Krishna meant what he said. So Indra said a prayer at that time. I've written this down. "You have, yet as the Supreme Lord, you impose punishment, you protect the religious principles, and curb down the wicked." In other words, Krishna, although he is forgiving, will correct those who do wicked acts. He will do that. But it's not done out of revenge. It's done with the most merciful nature. It's like when a guru chastises his disciple. This is thousands of times more valuable than big praises. This is something we also need to learn as Westerners. When there is a chastisement, we usually take it personally, or he doesn't like me. But this is not the case. When Krishna punishes the wickedness, it's wicked people. He corrects them and gives them, as we heard earlier, relief. So this is very, very important. There's a great devotee in this area who sang a song about Krishna. But I will sing it later. I wait for another devotee to arrive who will become very inspired when he hears this. So Krishna's chastisement was only meant to help Indra to become purified from the fever of pride. When a doctor takes an injection, chang, and puts it into your behind, do you take a stone and bang it on his head? No, you understand. He wants to help you to become free from your fever. So when you receive chastisement by Krishna, when you see that Krishna doesn't give you milk and sugar, but as they say in Braj, the neem tree, the neem leaf treatment. Neem leaf means it has a bitter taste, very bitter. You should accept it lovingly. When you see that your guru chastises you, you should not go against him with stones and arrows, but you should know it is meant for my relief, my treatment. It is different than they are different. Like it's not the motivation which you are accustomed to. Because you are cut, you are hurt, you are attacked so many times in this world by people who are not having this nature. It's the comes from a different ground, a different place. Out of fear, Indra in the beginning spoke many prayers, and I purposefully don't repeat these prayers because they were still a little tainted by insincerity. Indra was still afraid of Krishna and spoke prayers to pacify the Lord so that he wouldn't get the, you know, that he wouldn't get the sauce, as we say in Europe, you know. But finally, Indra could understand, my Lord is different. His personality is Kshamashila. He really forgives me. And even though he is sometimes tough, it comes out of fatherly affection. So finally Indra started to come entirely to his senses. It took him some time, but then he confessed, and with tears in his eyes he said, forgive me, what I did was so absolutely wrong. Please forgive me. And then Krishna also decided to speak very sincerely with Indra and had a heart-to-heart talk. He said, but Indra, I can't understand, how is it possible for my devotee to go so much against me? You wanted to kill everyone. You wanted to kill my father. How is it possible? You are my devotee. I can see this. And Indra said, my Lord, I became angry. And it was because of this anger which just totally destroyed everything in me. But Krishna said, but I'm your master. And you knew it was me who stopped your worship. I just can't believe how my servant can go to such an extreme and do such a thing against me. You see now that soft heart of Krishna. He speaks now his heart. And Indra said, anything is possible if someone becomes proud like me. It was my pride. Manina, But Krishna was not yet, you know, he wanted to go deeper into this, because I can only guess he wanted to help Indra, and he wanted him to look at what had happened. He wanted to really go, ask him to think about it so that he could avoid it in the future. And Krishna said, well, there may be pride which arises in my devotee, but you have an intelligence to see that and stop your pride, isn't it? I think you all know this. Sometimes comes a situation when you get proud. Does this happen to you? No, never. It happens. But then you can do use your intelligence and go step a little back and observe yourself and say, my God, I'm proud. I don't want this. And then you can stop it. But Indra came back to his point. Yes, if you are intelligent, you can stop your pride. But, you know, my intelligence was nuked. It was bombed. It was gone because of this anger which I felt. Do you sometimes feel anger? I know a person who is very humble in the outside, but who's still full of so much anger. It's amazing. It's a Babaji who lives in who lives somewhere in Braj. I don't want to say where it is, but any little thing, you really feel. So Indra was just won over by Krishna, and then he said,
Tvayeshanugrihitosmi dvashtastambo vrito yamaha Ishvaram gurum atmanam tvam tvam aham sharanam gata. O Lord, you have shown mercy to me by shattering my false pride and defeating my attempt to punish Vrindavan. To you, the Supreme Lord, Spiritual Master and Supreme Soul,
I have now come to seek your shelter. He is now ready to take full shelter and accept Krishna as the Supreme Master. I have now finally come to you to seek your shelter. My dear devotees, a conditioned soul's journey stops at the moment where he can pray like Indra. Now I see. I've come to take your shelter.
And he prayed, obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The great soul, who are all pervading and who reside in the hearts of all, my obeisances unto you, Krishna, the chief of the Yadu dynasty. Please repeat. Namas. A little bit more heart. Tubhyang Bhagavate Purushaya Mahatmane Vasudeva Krishnaya Sadvatam Padaye Namaha. Obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the great soul, who are all pervading, You reside in the hearts of all.
My obeisance unto you,
O Krishna. Very good. You chanted very nicely at the end. So he said many such praises. And do you know what Krishna did when he heard these prayers? Do you know in the Gita what Krishna did when Arjuna came to the place where he was helpless and wanted to surrender to him? He smiled. Now Indra was serious and had sincerely revealed his mind to the Lord. He had admitted that he became fiercely angry and everything left him, and he had viciously attacked. So Krishna could now reveal the inner core of his mind. Krishna will never speak his mind to someone who is insincere. But Krishna, the personification of bliss, was now ready to tell a secret to Indra. And Prabhupada says, Krishna does not speak nonsense. Krishna is the personification of bliss. He had no bad feelings towards Indra. He spoke with a voice resonant like a cloud. And the Acharya said he didn't speak with an upset, high voice and was smiling. You know, sometimes we hear a lecture and someone talks very, very confidential words, but his voice is high and very upset. Have you heard this? People yelling spiritual truth at you just because they're Krishna goes... speaks in a very resonant, deep voice like a cloud. Maya te kari magavan makabhango nugrinata mat anus mritaye nityam matesyendra shriyabrisham. My dear Indra, it was out of mercy that I stopped the sacrifice meant for you. You were greatly intoxicated by your opulence as the King of Heaven, and I wanted you always remember me. Imagine the scene. Indra, the powerful king of this universe, was lying before Krishna like a rod. He had fallen down like a rod, dandavat. And he was crying like a helpless little child, crying from a wound in his heart, which was very deep. He had offended the most merciful, forgiving Lord. Krishna was only 7 years old, and in his voice he said, "Hey, Meghavan," means no, Maghavan, those who, hey, you who possess Magha. Magha is cloud, no? You possess clouds. How nicely Krishna alluded to the Samvataka attack, you know. Hey, Maghavan, you were constantly intoxicated by your opulences. You always accepted worship from my own father and my grandfather. May you always remember that there's one Ishvara. He is higher than you. He is superior. To give you an opportunity to remember this,
I stopped your sacrifice.
My dear devotees, those of you who have experimented with hallucinogenic drugs and who have gone into the black arts know what belladonna can do to you. It's a substance you need if you want to ride on a broom at Walpurgis night. It's not necessary that you understand these things. This really makes you crazy and gets you out of your sense. Belladonna, in Hindi you call it datura. It's a very heavy drug which just makes you totally crazy. It's not yet known so well by Krishna's mercy. But it says 100 times more crazy than when you take datura, you become 100 times more crazy when you are blinded by wealth. And you might have seen that I think you don't do this, but if you would study the gossip newspaper, how do you call gossip newspaper? We call it in Europe the yellow press. Is there some yellow press? Tabloid. You hear sometimes about rich people, what they do, you know, very crazy things. Have you heard? Have you studied? Not so much. Huh? Really, they do bad things, you know. I would know many examples, but I just don't want to say them. Really bad things, you know, like dressing up their pets in with very rich diamonds and you know, really bad things, useless things. So when a person becomes blinded by wealth, that makes him do very bad things. And this was what Indra said. And Krishna addressed this point. Mang Aishvaya Srimadhando Dandapanim Napashyati Tang Brangshayami Sampatyo Yasya Checham Yanukram. He speaks about these people who are blinded by power and opulence in this verse. A man who is blinded by intoxication with his power and opulence cannot see me nearby with a rod of punishment in my hand. But if I desire his real welfare, I drag him down from his materially fortunate position. Krishna says, I'm dandapanim. I carry a danda. For those who are Braj Bhaktas, they know it's the Krishna's cowherd stick. And they pray like Rupa Goswami, oh, my mind, like a cow, has wandered off the right path. Come with your red golden cowherd stick and drive my mind back to the right path. There's a song. It goes like this. His deeds are sweet. His acts of deliverance are sweet, like you can see with Indra. His stealing is sweet. His amorous plays is sweet. His yawning is sweet. And even his chastisement, plural, are sweet. Everything is sweet about the Lord of Sweetness. His gopas are sweet. His cows are sweet. His staff is like stick, is sweet. His creation is sweet. Yes, if you're in Krishna consciousness, if you are in this consciousness, you will see even his creation is sweet. His defeating the demons is sweet. And his bestowal of fruits is sweet. Everything is sweet
about the original Lord of Sweetness. That's Krishna. Krishna! Krishna Kanaya ki!
Oh, finally, finally, some voices with you.
After Krishna had spoken these two verses, he sent Indra back, but he cautioned him, remain sober and without false pride, otherwise I will come and punish you again. When Krishna said, otherwise I will come and punish you again, he must have kept in his mind that Indra again became proud, and Krishna went with Satyabhama on Garuda, where? To the heavenly planets. This time Krishna came and he took the Parijata flower tree away, and Indra gave him battle. Do you remember? So he... Indra said, Vishwanath Chakravarti said in one prayer, Indra said, I'm like a cow. If I'm punished once, I come back again. Have you seen this in Vrindavan? The monkey. You know, the monkey comes to these monkey saver people, you know, with the bananas and the peanuts, and he steals, and then they become very heavy and just bang him, but he comes back again to steal. So, with conditioned mentality. So, by Krishna's inconceivable mercy, I cannot believe my eyes. Just turn around. The Surabhi has arrived here. Can you see? She is turning still her back towards you. Now, Krishna had dealt with Indra. He said, all right. And he turned to Surabhi, who had come from the heavenly planets. And she was surrounded with many other cows who were offsprings of the transcendental cows that play with Krishna. So Surabhi, who had come, affectionately now turned to Krishna to ask him for a little attention, because she wanted to say something which was, in German language we would say, hochbrisant. Can you understand a little German? No? But from the sound you can understand. Brisant? Brisant means like... In English you would maybe say candid, something which is a little... The Germans also have another word, heikel. Heikel. You hear the sound and you will understand the sound of the language. Es war hochbrisant und extrem. Can you understand extrem, what that means? Good. Es war extrem heikel. I cannot speak the very good English because I know only the street English. It was a highly sensitive subject. Thank you. Highly sensitive. So she begged for his attention. And then she spoke. Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogin. Vishvatman. Vishvasambhava. Bhavata Lokanatena Sanata Vayamachuta. Mother Surabhi said, O Krishna, greatest of mystics, O soul and origin of the universe, you are the master of the world, and by your grace, O infallible Lord, we have you
as our master. This is indirect speech. What Surabhi said as Indra was standing nearby is, "You are our master, not this Indra who desired to destroy our whole race, you know, our race in Braj, our cow, the cows. You are the one. We are no longer. This is not. We can't take him serious. You always act for the benefit of the cows, the brahmanas, the demigods, and all other saintly persons. This person is not acting for the benefit. He's not fit to be the king." Now, this was clearly a political statement. You know, this is universal politics. You know, Surabhi really said, "Get him down off the throne. We want you to be there." Surabhi wanted to enthrone Krishna as the leader of the universe. And she continued, "Please don't think this is an independent desire. Brahma, the original creator, has inspired us to wish like this. We came here on his order to perform your royal abhishek, to coronate you as our Indra." Highball! Now in Vrindavan, my dear devotees, you must know there is one sacred place which was the area for this pastime which Mother Surabhi suggested. You know this place? Govindakund. You know everything. Wonderful. And there at Govindakund, a beautiful abhishek, this is necessary for the coronation of Krishna, was done, and Brahma, the creator of the universe, acted as the main pujari. Surabhi says, I want you to know that this is not an independent desire. Brahma, the creator, he came to me and he gave this order. O Surabhi, you are very dear to the Lord, who is the protector of your relatives. Therefore, you should go to Krishna, who is an ocean of mercy, and arrange that Krishna forgives Indra for his offense. Then the abhishek should be performed, and that then Indra should be installed as the real leader of the universe and of the leader of the cows, Surabhi says. So, I'm trying to jump because we. Brahma then gave the directions for the festival. He said, "Today is the best day to observe the happy occasion. Do not delay, everyone. Everyone queue up behind Lord Shiva and please start the abhishek. Before I take my turn, let the leading lady start." So first Arundhati came forward, then Anasuya, then Parvati, the respected daughter of the Himalayas, who gives bliss to everyone. Then other exalted ladies came, such as Gayatri, the mother of the Vedas, who welcomes Krishna at the time of awakening him. Krishna was not saying no, because Surabhi had asked him, and Surabhi. So
Govardhan provided a very beautiful boulder. Boulder means like a quadrangular rock. There was an effulgent throne made of smooth jewels. Varuna personally held a very fine white umbrella over Krishna's head, and Vayu was taking a chamara, and he was waving Krishna like this, but he trembled. Can any one of you imagine why Vayu was trembling when he did the fanning puja, the fanning seva? I have thought for one day about it, and my speculation is that when he was fanning Krishna, the beautiful fragrance coming from Krishna's body was intensified by the movement of the air and went with intense force in his nostrils, and that's why he must be trembling. That's my speculation, but it's a valueless speculation. Then Panchajanya, the personal conchal of the Lord, made auspicious sounds all the time, and Sudarshan Chakra began to expand in many lamps so that all directions were lit. Komodoki, the club of Krishna, stood there like a jeweled pillar for the bathing ceremonies. And all the sacred oceans, all the ponds, all the rivers, I don't think the German rivers came, but the lakes came with pots of water to bathe Krishna. And of course, like in all proper festivals, the celestial ladies showered a rain of flowers on Krishna and the Abhishek. There were siddhas, there were charanas, there were vidyadharas. They joyfully danced in the sky. And there was a special drama performed for Krishna by the apsaras. And Urvashi, while conducting this drama, this most beautiful lady of the... And quite infamous also, because... and so on. She looked at the effulgent form of Syam Sunda, this beauty, and she decided on that day to devote herself to the Lord. She became a bhaktin because she saw the effulgence of emanating from Syama Sunda. And then there was a beautiful scene. Surabhi, who is a heavenly cow, stood in the air and showered Krishna with milk from her udders. Was a real Abhishek. Yes. And on this day, something happened which was very special. Krishna was given a name through which he became famous. Krishna was known up till that time in Vrindavan as Abhiram. Abhiram means beautiful one and pleasing one. But on that day, he was given the name Govinda. Go means cow, and Vinda means he who protects. Go can also mean senses, the senses of the devotees especially. And Vinda means Krishna who protects the senses of his devotees.
So Rabbi, I don't really know who gave the name. That would be interesting. Now Indra exclaimed, "O lifter of the great mountain of Govardhan, although previously you were known as Abhiram, you will now be known by the name of which your devotees will regularly chant. Krishna Govinda Govinda Gopala Nandala. Krishna Govinda Govinda. Hey Gopala Nandala. Krishna Govinda Govinda Gopala Nandala. Krishna Govinda Govinda Hey Gopala Nandala. Jaho! Krishna Govinda Govinda Gopala Nandala. Krishna Govinda Govinda Hey Gopala Nandala. Hey Gopala Nandala, Gopala Nandala, Gopala Nandala, Gopala Nandala. Gopala Nandala, Gopala Nandala, Gopala Nandala, Gopala Nandala. Oh, Krishna Govinda, Govinda, Gopala Nandala, Krishna Govinda, Govinda, Gopala Nandala. Krishna Govinda Govinda Gopala Nandala. Hey, Gopala Nandala. Oh! Hey, Bo! Hey, Gopala Nandala, Gopala Nandala, Gopala Nandala, Gopala Nandala. Gopala Nandala, Gopala Nandala, Gopala Nandala, Gopala Nandala. Krishna Govinda, Govinda, Gopala Nandala, Krishna Govinda, Govinda, Gopala Nandala. Govinda Govinda Gopala Nandala, Krishna Govinda Govinda Gopala Nandala. Govinda 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 Jai Govinda.
daigo minna, a daigo minna, a daigo minna, a daigo pai, a daigo pai, a daigo pai. Jai Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Jai Giri Govardhan. Jai Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan.
On that day, there was a great Harinam festival with the Apsaras singing and dancing. Some devatas like Varuna went on their planes and showered flowers from upstairs or from up. Mm. Sukadev Goswami describes that all the residents of Swarga, Prithvi and Patala Lokas felt on that day extreme satisfaction and gratification. The cows were so happy that they drenched the surface of the earth with their milk. Those who were envious by nature, like snakes and envious people, forgot all about their malice against others. Even those who were cruel became on that day free from cruelty. In the Gita, Arjuna praised the power of Krishna's name. And you know, there was this Nam Sankirtana. There was the reason for this universal auspiciousness. He says, Krishna, the world becomes joyful upon hearing your name, and thus everyone becomes attached to you. It is this Nam Sankirtan which was done by the whole universe on that day with the name Govinda. And I guess also other names of Krishna. That reverberated through the universe and everyone became happy. This is also what we as the movement, we are called the Hare Krishna, I mean, you know this, we are the Hare Krishna, as the Hare Krishna movement, have to become expert in. Nam Sankirtan, through which we spread the names of this most forgiving, most attractive Lord, which can soothe the heart of all the people on this planet Earth and this universe. On this day, I request you to think deeply about your role in the spreading of the holy names of Krishna. By and by,
all the demigods took their leave from Krishna, and everyone except one went. Everyone on that day was very happy by this Sankirtan. A little while ago, the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, came to our school and was asked to unveil our Avanti school, to unveil a picture with Lord Chaitanya dancing in the forest of Jharkhand. Like this. And Queen Elizabeth asked, "Oh, what is the gentleman doing here?" Gentleman. is he, you know, she was maybe thinking he is like an animal handler. This is a German word, is Dompteur, you know, who enters the circus and lets the lions jump through burning circles, you know. What is the gentleman doing here? And the devotees said, "He is singing the holy names and spreading love of Godhead even to the tigers and the elephants and the deers. He's pacifying their otherwise cruel nature and envious nature." And the old queen is a little old, 80 years or plus, you know. She said, "Oh, very good, very good." And in February, we are asked now to give a seminar to the Queen's office. And we will speak about the power of the holy name as, you know, pacifying the envious and cruel nature of the people of Kali Yuga. So everyone had gone, but Indra, who had stood in a distance, was still there, and Krishna called him forward and said his parting words to him. He teased him now a little bit, and he said, "Is your anger now pacified? Truthfully tell me. You are close to me. Don't conceal the moods in your heart." And then Krishna again opened his heart very affectionately. And I want you to leave this katha with these words of Krishna. The Lord, who had shown by this leela that he wants every one of his devotees to worship exclusively him, not Indra, no shelter anywhere else, only full Krishna ashray. He said again, "See, I did not subdue your anger out of revenge or enmity. I just wanted to show how your actions were full of false pride. I have this nature. I cannot see my own devotees possessing false pride. I just can't see this. It is well known that such devotees are always corrected by me. But, O Indra, it was out of my love for you that I stopped your sacrifice. O subduer of your enemies, both your inner enemies and your outer enemies. It simply does not suit you to maintain envy. Now return to Svarga and enjoy your position. But please, do not become carried away by your wealth and lose your intelligence again." Krishna looked at him. He was dressed in a glimmering new golden outfit, golden dress.
After all, he was crowned to be the king of the universe. He had his coronation dress, golden dress. It was glimmering. He looked most beautiful. He returned back to Vrindavan. It seemed he had just returned after a moment's absence. As he walked towards Vrindavan, the cowherd boys, the Sakas, who had witnessed this demigod festival and the way the demigods worshipped their Krishna, they had hidden there. They came out of their hiding place and ran towards Krishna. "Hey, Saka, what you just did was wonderful." And they embraced him and they pressed him affectionately on his body. And Krishna laughed and joked. And you know, they touched his feet and he touched theirs. And they started to wrestle, you know, in the dust. But that is all another narration, which will be discussed at another time. Hare Krishna. We are not yet at the end. Somehow Surabhi has come, and the best of the pujaris will perform a puja now. You have to be really fast. And I wish you all to turn towards Giriraj and see this scene, how we will worship Surabhi. I feel maybe some of us have also good reason to turn to Krishna for giving nature. Maybe some of us have also committed some offense in the past. So we will pray now. It is maybe good if we remain sitting, because then we can easily all view this scene. We will see the aratik, which is done to our representative of Surabhi. We will beg Surabhi to have a good word for us at Krishna, just like she did for Indra. And we will sing nicely.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna. Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ah Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Ebo Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Radhe, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Everybody in one voice.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Yum. Yeah.